Yantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I am very much honored and grateful to be here this evening amongst all of you for this memorial gathering in honor of Her Grace Vidyapati Kapoor. Today is the last day of the month of Kartik. Kartik is the most spiritually empowered and auspicious time of the year. Kartik is presided over by Srimati Radharani, the very embodiment and reservoir of all divine love. And in this month, she is most generous in bestowing that love into the hearts of those devotees who approach her with sincere devotion. It is also the month of Damodar. It is called the month of Damodar because it was on this month that Mother Yashoda bound Krishna with the rope of her love. We know the story, Krishna, who was Makanchor, when he was breaking the butter pots, stealing the butter, personally eating it, and feeding it to the monkeys. Yashoda Mai came from behind him, following his butter footprints with a little stick, because it was dangerous for him. Monkeys have sharp teeth and sharp claws. Out of her motherly affection, she wanted to protect Krishna and teach him proper behavior. You see, in Vrindavan, the conception of Krishna as God is eclipsed by the intimate nature of the devotee's love for Krishna, and especially by the devotee's intimate love, or Krishna's intimate love for his devotees. So Yashoda Mai chased after Krishna, and Krishna fled. But eventually Yashoda Mai caught him. He who is faster than the wind, is faster than the speed of light, was caught by the love of his mother. And for his protection, she wanted to bind him with a rope. But every time she put a rope around him, it was two fingers too short. She tied another rope to the original rope, and then another rope to that original rope, and another rope to that original rope, but each time it was always two fingers too short. There were thousands of ropes. Gopis from all over the village were coming to bring their ropes, all different color ropes. It was a festival of ropes, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And everyone was laughing. How is this possible? This is a miracle. This is beyond conception. The ropes get longer and longer and longer, and Krishna's waist remains exactly the same. And yet, it is all, the ropes are always exactly the same distance, too short. So many gopis, all family members and friends, were gathered around just laughing and laughing in complete astonishment. But still, the thought never came, maybe he's God. Krishna would not allow that thought, because it would interrupt with their affection, their intimate affection. This is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. The affection of the heart of God toward the devotee and the devotee toward God. It's the highest truth. It's the greatest mystery. How the unconquerable becomes conquered. Yashoda Mai was not a mystic yogi. She was not a muni who could create monstrous demons or read people's minds or do supernatural feats. Krishna can never be caught by anyone with mystic powers. Yatira Yogeshwara Krishna. Krishna is the supreme master of all mystics. Even Lord Brahma, what is his mystic powers? If we could create some ashes or create some gold or tell somebody their future, people think we're some great god. But Lord Brahma, he's creating planets. He's creating species of life. He's living 311 trillion years and never gets old, never gets sick. Can you imagine? If somebody, has there anyone who's lived even 90 years with never getting sick? Lord Brahma, 311 years, he never gets a common cold. Ever. Check his medical records. Never got a flu. Never got a sore throat. Never, he, four heads, never, not one of them ever got a headache. Very powerful person. But during Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Brahma saw little Gopa Krishna, he's just a little Gopa. He was only 5 years old at the time when Brahma stole the calves and the gopas. Krishna was only five. He's just a little boy walking around with a lump of food in his hand. Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful. It tells us what the food is in Krishna's hand. Yogurt and rice and fruit salad. And he's just walking around looking for his cows and calves. And then he manifests himself as every gopa and of every calf. And Brahma comes down and sees it all and realizes, this is Yogeshwara. He is the master of all mystic potencies. Yashoda Mai is just a simple lady. She's not managing universes. She's not a yogi doing tapasya in the Himalayas. She's just churning butter, milking cows, and being a mother for her son. That's all. But her love, her motherly love, was so powerful. Krishna showed his omnipotent, inconceivable powers. Without growing in size. Everyone in this world is worried about their waistline getting too big. Krishna just, without growing inside, his waistline remains exactly the same. And they're putting practically kilometers of rope around him. And it's still two fingers too short. Now, if we try to understand this with our rational intelligence, it's inconceivable. It can only be understood through wisdom. Wisdom that God, who is the creator of all existence, is beyond all limitations and all laws that bind us. The first principle of understanding the Absolute is Achint Shakti, that he has inconceivable potencies. If he was conceivable, what's the use of being God? Every one of us is conceivable. But God is inconceivable. He could do anything, could be anything. But the most inconceivable thing, please listen carefully, the real inconceivable, unbelievable, incredible phenomena of this story was not that every rope was 2 inches too short, 2 fingers too short, no matter how many ropes were tied together. What was inconceivable is when she actually tied the knot and bound Krishna. How could a simple lady, a mother, bind, defeat, conquer the Absolute Truth? Nothing so beautiful. What is it about that rope that conquered Krishna? Because on the path of bhakti, it's not the thing, it's the spirit that Krishna sees. Krishna was not conquered by a rope. He was not bound by a rope. He was bound by the love of Yashoda. For Krishna, he saw that that rope was the manifestation of the spirit of her motherly love for him. Krishna doesn't see a microphone. He sees the spirit in which the microphone is used. He's not concerned with his body, whether it's old or young or black or white or red or yellow or educated or uneducated, rich or poor. Krishna doesn't see these things. Krishna sees the spirit in which we use this body, whatever intelligence we have, whatever resources we have. That is bhakti. And when anything is utilized with love, Krishna sees the love. So Yashoda Mai bound Krishna by her love, motherly love. And on this auspicious day of the last day of Damodar month, when Krishna is bound by the love of Yashoda, we have all gathered here because many of us have been bound to be here tonight by the motherly love of Vidyavati Kapoor. She was like a mother to me. She wasn't like a mother to me. She was a mother to me. And to many others here tonight who I can see. Her affection, always inquiring about my health. Well, if there's anything a sannyasi doesn't like, it's when people inquire about your health. Because it's never good. And it's such a botheration trying to explain it. And if you say it's all right, then they want you to do so many things. And you can't do it. And if you say it's not all right, then you get interrogated, and then 50 people come with medicines. But when someone is with genuine motherly love, it doesn't really matter what they ask about. It's the love. Once a godbrother said to another godbrother, "How are you?" And the other godbrother said, "Why are you asking me a mundane question? Why don't you say, how many rounds are you chanting? Or how many, what did you read today? Why are you asking, how are you? How is your health? Anyone asks these questions. It's not the words, it's the concern. When a devotee who really cares about you says, how are you? That devotee is asking about your physical, your emotional, your spiritual well-being. You don't even have to explain to him or her what your physical, emotional, or spiritual well-being may be. You just understand. If it's offered, if the question is offered with sincere emotion, with care, with affection, that in itself is a great gift. In her motherly love, whenever I would come to the home, always prasad, so much prasad, and always so concerned eating enough. Another problem with my life is every motherly devotee thinks I'm too skinny. And they all think I need to eat more. In her case, it was out of love. How many in this room had this relationship with her? Please raise your hand and say Hari Bol. She was a mother to people older than her. That is bhakti. So yes, we are here tonight because we are bound by the rope of her love, her motherly love. And for that we offer our sincerest gratitude to her. And we pray. We pray for Shri Radha Ras Bihari's blessings to shower infinitely upon her precious soul. Tonight is also Kartik Purnima. It was on Kartik Purnima that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first arrived in Vrindavan. Very historical day. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the spirit of the love of Sri Radha. And her complexion as well. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always longing to go to Vrindavan. On several occasions, he attempted to go to Vrindavan. But for the purpose of showing compassion to others, he delayed his journey year after year after year. When he was living in Puri, just the thought of Vrindavan, his ecstatic love would increase 100 times. When he was en route to Vrindavan through Jarikanda Forest, that love increased 100 times. When he reached the boundaries of Mathura, that love increased 100 times. And when he actually stepped foot in Vrindavan, Gokul Mahaban, on this day of Kartik Purnima, that ecstatic love increased unlimitedly. And all the residents of Vrindavan, the peacocks, the deers, the parrots, the trees, the creepers, the cows, the calves, the bulls, the Brijabasi people. Everyone, they saw, they didn't know this is Krishna, but they loved him like Krishna and Radha. And they welcomed him. The deers would surround him and lick his body. The cows would surround him and lick his body. They just lick it and lick it and lick it, and just to show their love and their affection, they couldn't go away from him. And the peacocks would dance for him and gaze with him with such emotion. The birds were singing beautiful songs to welcome Krishna back home. For 2 months, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in Vrindavan. But to show compassion to his personal assistant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was having tremendous problems dealing with Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies, and all the crowds and crowds of people who were inviting him to their home, to their homes for prasad, he said, I can't take this anymore. And sometimes you just go into the river and disappear, and sometimes you fall unconscious. Vrindavan is so ecstatic for you. Let's go. To leave Vrindavan? But Lord Chaitanya, his compassion was so simple and so sweet. He didn't want to go. But just to please his assistant, he said, all right, we will go. Went to Prayag, Varanasi, and ultimately back to Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come specifically to this world to demonstrate practically how we could live the life of Srimad Bhagavatam. Amulam Puranam, the highest, purest of all scripture. But Krishna explains in Gita, there is jnana and there is vijnana. There is theoretical knowledge and there is realized knowledge. Theory without realization has little value. Theory shows us the way, but we have to go there. If you have a map, well, these days people don't use maps. They use those, what are they, GPS or something? Like, I don't remember the name, but it's... But if you have a map, whatever kind it is, the directions are there. You need those directions. But it's not enough. It has no value unless you follow the directions and move forward toward your destination. So Bhagavad Gita gives the preliminary understandings of spirituality in truth. And Srimad Bhagavatam is demonstrating the highest essence of the Bhagavad Gita and beyond in the lives of the devotees, which culminates in the culture of Vrindavan. The culture where everything is to awaken love for Krishna. Everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, we can conquer the world through culture. Culture is art, music, poetry, relationships, business ethics, political values, family values. All of these combined is culture. And when they are all centered around machchita matkata purana bodhayanta paraspara, enlightening one another to love God, not a sectarian concept, but to love God, that is Krishna conscious culture. Today we were hearing from Srila Prabhupada's biography about the first time Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan with a group of his disciples after going to the West. It's really amazing what I'm about to speak. Not because I say it, because Prabhupada said it. Prabhupada was welcomed by the dignitaries of Vrindavan. And these very, very big political dignitaries and the heads of temples were praising Srila Prabhupada. That he was one of our own family members living in the simple temple of Radha Damodar, doing his bhajan, writing his books. He left with 40 rupees. Took the boat Jaladutta across 2 oceans and 3 continents. Arrived in a foreign land with nothing and no one. And now he's coming back to Vrindavan after starting so many Radha Krishna temples all over the world, in Europe, in South America, in North America. Now in India again. And he's coming with disciples who are from Africa, from America, from Europe, from China. He is our hero. He has done what no one else could do. He has spread Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement all over the world. This is how Prabhupada was welcomed to Vrindavan. I happened to be there at the time. I didn't come with Prabhupada, I was in Vrindavan. But I witnessed this amazing event. And then Srila Prabhupada spoke. How he spoke. He was not just speaking to the Brijavasis, he was speaking to Brahma's creation. He said, we are not concerned with a sectarian religion. Because according to the religion that you're Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Jain, Parsi, most people, they're born into their religion, and that's why they believe it. But if you were born somewhere else, you would believe something else. Sanatana Dharma is the essence of all religion. It is the truth. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Godhead. The supreme occupation for all humanity is love for God. He said, we are not teaching any sectarian faith. That is not what Vrindavan is about. Vrindavan is about the essence of all faith. Yes, God has assumed many forms at many times throughout history. But it's all useless, whatever your religion is, unless you develop the qualities of love for God and compassion for other living beings. Vrindavan culture is about relationships based on love for God. And when there is love for God, there is spontaneously, naturally love for each other. If you hate anyone in the world, that is a sign of the deficiency of your love for God. If there's any living entity that you don't love in any species, that is a sign of a deficiency in your love for Krishna. If you really love Krishna, you'll see Krishna in the heart of every living being. How can you not love? This is Krishna consciousness. This is the culture of Vrindavan. And it's so much the foundation of the culture of India. What is left of it? Very interesting. I just saw in the news that a historic event is about to happen in the United States of America. That the new president-elect, Barack Obama, who happens to be African American, which is historic in itself. But what I'm talking about is this. His wife's mother is going to live in the White House with them to take care of their children. You don't understand yet, so I'll explain. It's the first time in the history of the United States of America that a grandmother ever moved into the White House with her children. The first time in the history of America, what is he, the 40th president or something? 44th president. 44 presidents, between 4 and 8 years each. First time three generations of the family are in the same White House. Man, it was so simple. They said, she takes care of our children so nicely. While we're doing our work, she'll be at home taking care of the children. Now, most of the other presidents have children. Who took care of them? They'd hire somebody. They didn't want the grandmother. They probably couldn't tolerate the grandmother. It's not the culture of America. It's very rare. When people get married, they go off. And they may have very good, cordial relationships with their parents. But how much are the parents a part of their life? Do they want to live with their parents and have the parents help take care of the children? It's just common, natural culture of India, is it not? But it is practically unheard of in America and Europe. So many of our devotees from Bombay living in America now, it's amazing. Every time they have children, their mothers and fathers come for about 6 months to take care of the children with them. And American people, they just can't believe it. What is this? The family unit of love and concern three generations, sometimes four generations, living together. And if they're not necessarily under the same roof, they're very much together in unity of helping one another. That's coming from the culture of bhakti. But the other perspective of that culture is even more beautiful. Not that the grandparents are welcome and eager to spend their lives taking care of their grandchildren, helping in every possible way. But when they get old, the children and the grandchildren are dedicated and committed to take care of the grandparents for the rest of their lives. It's very rare in America. It's the common culture of India. We have seen the parents give everything for you when you're growing up. But when they're old, the culture in America, or the lack of culture, you send them to a nursing home. It's a miserable situation. It's utterly impersonal. People are taking care of you because you're paying them to take care of you. There's no love. There's no affection. No real affection. It's professional affection. Like when you pay for a ticket on the airlines and they say, oh, welcome, welcome, and they're smiling. But that affection is not from their heart. They're trained to do that. They go to school to learn how to smile and make you feel nice. But affection, there's no need for a school. It comes from the heart. What people need in the world is affection. I've gone to so many nursing homes. People are lonely. They feel forsaken. But there's nothing they could do about it because they're helpless. And they're just paid people. Just you're like a thing. You're not like a person so much. And at the end of their life, what they want more than anything else is affection. They want love. The need of every soul is love, to love and be loved. On my way here tonight, I visited the home of Adi Keshav Prabhu and Prem Leela Devi. They're very devoted, wonderful mother. Nanda Priya Devi. She's at the last stages of her life in this world. Physically, she's completely helpless. Completely helpless. In many of the so-called advanced countries of the world, she would just be in a nursing home where people would just be trying to keep her alive. But here she's at home with her family. The joint family. Now, don't just think this is sentimental physical relationship. Because bhakti is about the body, mind, and soul. They're giving her physical care. But a nursing home can give that. They're giving her emotional care by their genuine love and affection. A nursing home cannot give that. And they're giving her spiritual care. They're giving her everything they can to help her to realize the highest perfection of life. Because we all have to die soon. But where the soul is destined beyond this body is the real priority of life. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very adamant that the top priority of an intelligent person is where is my soul going to go when it leaves this body? Everything else should be harmonized according to that consideration. We want our soul to love Krishna, to return to Krishna's eternal loving pastimes in the spiritual world. They're giving her Krishna's charanamrit, Krishna's tulsi leaves. They have Srila Prabhupada playing in a kirtan, and when he's not playing, they're around her chanting, reading from the scriptures, knowing whether she's externally aware or not, her soul is being deeply touched and purified by that sound vibration. And not when we're talking about joint family, it's something wonderful. Dayal Chandra Prabhu and his family, Vrindavan Chandra Srinivas, his wife, they are coming quite often, yes? And doing kirtan, singing Damodarastakam all around the bed of the mother. Two families coming together, united, to show real love for the mother, for the grandmother, for the great-grandmother. And Srinathji Prabhu, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, so many other devotees, even our brahmacharis, are coming to the home. Nobody's getting paid. Nobody's getting any material benefits. They're coming out of love. Love for her and love for her family. To chant for her, to pray for her, to bring mahaprasad of various varieties for her. That is love. That is culture. That is something so rare and unique that India still has. And those who actually follow the path of bhakti have the highest, most inclusive way to express that love. It's beautiful. I'm just hoping in the White House, when the grandmother gets old, the children and the grandchildren will take care of her, not just that she takes care of the children and the grandchildren. That is love. That is reciprocation. And if they share their love for God with her, that is real love. So let us all pray for Nanda Priya Devi. She's a god sister to many of you, a mother to many of you, always a wonderful, enthusiastic devotee. It appears that Krishna will take her soon, but how fortunate she is. She's lived, and she will pass from this world in the embrace of the culture of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and then presented the culture of Vrindavan to the world. And Srila Prabhupada, he practically brought that culture to every continent on earth through his books, through his example. What we read in the books is the culture of Vrindavan. And we have to create that culture, that family culture of genuine commitment to each other, care for each other, where no one is abandoned. You do not need life insurance in India unless you become westernized. If you become very westernized, you need life insurance because you're on your own. But if you're a devotee, you have your family who's going to take care of you throughout your life. And if things get wrong, you go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And there's love and concern. After visiting Nanda Priya Devi, I went to Hinduja Hospital to visit His Holiness Sripad Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, one of the greatest Vaishnav acharyas of the modern world. Srinathji Prabhu, what did Prabhupada say about him?
He said he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya.
Please say it in the microphone for creation to hear.
1971, March end, when Prabhupada came to a house, he asked my father, who was a member of parliament, Lok Sabha, to get Indian citizenship for Jayaprathaka Maharaj. So my father was surprised that this is an American boy who's 18 or 19 year old, why he wants Indian citizenship. Because at that time Indians wanted American citizenship. So Prabhupada answered that he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. And he will have disciples who are Indians. He will preach in Bengali and he'll stay in Bengal.
Hare Krishna. He had a stroke and he's in critical condition. There are literally tens and thousands of devotees all over the world who are willing to do anything, give anything to help him. Temples all over the world are having 24-hour kirtans, putting his picture on their altars, in their homes, in their temples, praying from their heart of hearts, praying. So much love, so much affection being directed toward his eternal soul. How beautiful. And the hospital just doesn't know what to do with all the devotees who are coming to serve him. Practically need people sending devotees away. I remember when I first started coming, there were people, you have to go, you have to go. Devotees just want to do anything for him. Everything for him. Such a wonderful society of love. And our Shamsundar Prabhu, he was about to die because he had cancer of the liver. He needed a transplant, otherwise there was no hope. Usually the only way you can get a transplant is somebody who dies, who's a donor. But the list was thousands. And for somebody to happen to die with the right kind of liver that's compatible is very rare. They told him there's no chance unless you can find a living donor. University of Chicago Hospital, one of the most prestigious hospitals for liver transplant in the world. They've done more than anywhere else in the world, living organ donors. They said, there's never been anyone who's willing to donate their liver to anyone except a relative. The biggest musicians, the rock and roll stars, all the girls are screaming, ah, I love you, I love you, I love you. But when they need your liver, I don't love you that much. And the big, big politicians, there's rallies with tens and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. We love you, we love you, we love you. But when it comes to a liver transplant, well, you know, you're not in office anymore. So. They have not seen anyone except a relative willing to donate a liver. His two children, the livers were incompatible. So Malati Prabhu and a few of us, we discussed it, and she just sent one announcement on the email. Within a couple days, the hospital got approximately 30 offers of people to give their livers. From all around America, from Finland, from Italy, from Germany, from England, from India, North India, South India, from Africa, from Australia. She's getting all these emails. We want to give our liver to Shamsundar. She said to him, the person in charge of the case, "Who are you? Who are you?" He said, "I'm a devotee of Krishna." And it's not easy. You have to get 2/3 of your liver cut out of you. 9-hour surgery to go in him. And one of our devotees from Bombay, Gopinath, did it. And equally brave was Parijata, his wife, who gave her blessings with a little child about 2 years old, Rasanath Prabhu. This is the culture of bhakti. Not just the theory, but it's real. It's based on loving relationships. Srila Jayapataka Maharaj is just, even in his critical condition, he's uniting tens and thousands of people's of hearts in love and affection for him and what he represents in our lives. Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names, has the greatest, most powerful effect when we have this culture of relationships amongst us. When there is real affection to encourage each other to love God, to help each other to love God. When I'm strong, I'll help you when you're weak. And when I'm weak, I know you'll be there to help me when you're strong. That type of faith, that type of support is culture. Not only are our contained families are united in bhakti, but our extended family. Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Devi. I don't want to embarrass them, although I always do. It's unimaginable. It's inconceivable. No one knows but Krishna how many people they're helping, because they never want anyone to know or any credit. The widow who has just lost her husband, who doesn't have support. The 160 children at Gopal's Garden who want a first-class Krishna conscious education, but the parents can't afford for that education. Subsidizing, building businesses just for that purpose. It's amazing how hard he's working for that school, and he doesn't have his own children in the school. Because he sees... They see, Radha Priya and Krishna Chandra, they see the entire congregation as their family. And they deeply care. And as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, they walk their talk. They show their care and make sacrifices for their care. And there's no greater pleasure. Srinathji Prabhu, Maithili Priya Devi, how much they, it's because of their love and affection that Radha Gopinath Temple exists. For the family of devotees. And how he took care of his mother when she was at the last stages of her life. Not only by providing all medical and emotional support, but by prayer, by kirtan, by mahaprasad, by everything possible to elevate her to Goloka. Sahadev Prabhu, Suchicha Devi, Sachidananda Prabhu, Raghunath Prabhu, amazing families. And I'm only saying all these things to lead up to express what I saw in the home of Satya Prakash, in Vidyavati Kapoor's home. Mrs. Kapoor was a mother, and she loved her children, and she loved the devotees. And when her and her husband became invalid, difficult, they had the finances to be put in all sorts of nice nursing homes or hospitals or whatever. But that's not what anyone wants in their old age. Their daughter, three daughters, Rasapriya, Rampriya, Gita, loving children, and Raghunath Prabhu, son-in-law, they were all very, very much united in helping. And Rampriya remained at home, sacrificing everything else to take care of her mother and father for several years. If it meant staying up all night, she stayed up all night. Taking care of her physically, showing love, chanting for her, giving her Mahaprasad. Tremendous sacrifice of love. Doing things that nobody likes to do for years. Even sacrificing the possibilities of marriage because my mother needs me. Very difficult to find such love. And it's based in love for Krishna. So Satya Prakash, Mr. Kapoor and Mrs. Kapoor inspired that. And that is glorious. I want to thank you, Rampriya Devi, Rasapriya Devi, Gita Devi, Raghunath Prabhu, your families. It's the culture of bhakti. It's beautiful. And its power can change the world. When we have this commitment of compassion, and we come together to chant the holy names, that sound vibration will have a powerful effect to change people's hearts. That is the greatest, most desperate need of the planet today. The global warming, the greenhouse effect, the ecological breakdown, the economic financial breakdown, the spreading of all kinds of incurable diseases like never before, mental health diseases, AIDS, hepatitis, cancer, heart disease. These are just a few problems. The solution? The culture of devotion. Wherein people learn to love God and care for each other. In that love for God. Wherein people are satisfied. There's no greed. When you're satisfied, when you're actually spiritually satisfied, you become benevolent. Selfishness is a symptom of dissatisfaction with yourself. Selfish. You're dissatisfied with yourself, so you just need more and more and more and more for yourself, and you're never satisfied. But when you're satisfied with Krishna, experiencing Krishna's love from within and from without, within the culture of bhakti, you become benevolent. You become compassionate. You want to be an instrument of love. You're not selfish. Giving is where pleasure is. Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita, even when God offers benedictions to great devotees, the only thing they want is to give. You'll never find any great saint asking to take something. Let me just love you. Let me give my heart to you. Let me be the servant of the servant of your servant. Prahlad Maharaj, give my father liberation. Let me always be absorbed in thoughts of love to offer to you. And let me take birth in this material world as long as anybody forgets you so that I could help them. Who asks for benedictions like that? People are asking for a good husband or a good wife or good grades or good profits. But when you have Krishna in your heart, when you're tasting Krishna's love, you become an instrument of that love. You're empowered. Empowered by Krishna's love. That's what the world needs. Then the financial problems, the ecological problems, the health problems, so many problems will be very much subdued. Birth, old age, disease, and death will still be there. Problems will be there. But let us dedicate our lives to be a part of the solution, the real solution. The culture of bhakti. Within our families, within our congregation, within our own personal lives. On this very special day, I offer my heartfelt and sincere gratitude to Mrs. Kapoor. Let us all take a moment to pray for Sri Radharas Bihari. To shower their intimate mercy upon her. The sincere prayer of a devotee is never unheard. And the effect of prayers to Krishna for another is one of the greatest nourishing experiences one can ever receive. Both the person who receives the blessings of the prayer and also the one who prays. And we want to thank the whole Kapoor family for being who you are and what you are. All of our prayers are with you tonight. Thank you very much.
Last year, on the 8th of December, it happened to be Maharaj's Vyas Puja celebration. Srimati Vidyavati Kapoor, my mother-in-law, she passed away on that day as devotees had congregated to celebrate Vyas Puja. Devotees from all over the world came. There were thousands of devotees in the pandal, and you can only imagine how busy that day is for Maharaj, because he has so many godbrothers, so many people to meet. And even before taking prasad, Maharaj heard that Srimati Vidyavati Kapoor had passed away. So the first thing he did was he made a call to us in the house, and he said, "I am very, very deeply saddened to hear this news." And devotees came in such large numbers to help us. And we were at the crematorium, we were in the house, helping to, you know, do all the rituals. And that took away so much of our grief. And then, after a few days, Maharaj spent 5 hours with the family. And he came to our house and met my father-in-law and the family. For 5 hours, he was nicely, you know, trying to find out, give solace to Rampriya and Raspriya and Geeta and all of us. And as if that was not enough, when I went to leave Maharaj, just as he was outside the temple, he was going to go up, he said, "Raghunath, I want to do another kirtan after a few days for your mother-in-law." After 3-4 days, Maharaj came back. In the evening, we had a very glorious program and kirtan. So many wonderful devotees came, and they helped all of us to come to terms with this irreparable loss. So when Maharaj speaks of the culture of love, I think all we can say is we are just a very cheap imitation of what Maharaj actually stands for. He demonstrates that so beautifully, and this is what an acharya is all about. Some weeks ago, Maharaj was in Jersey City. He was going to New York, and I happened to take that chance, and I gave a call to Maharaj, and I said, "Maharaj, will you please come this year and help and perform the first memorial service for my mother-in-law?" And Maharaj said, "Raghunath, I will do everything in my power to make this day a grand success." And Maharaj, really, your august presence has fulfilled our desires. You have so wonderfully explained how the nature of love is. When bhakti is the center, how beautifully things culminate. And this morning when I went to meet Maharaj, I said, "Maharaj, you are not well." He said, "Raghunath, my chest is so bad, it hurts." And before that, he was very quick to say, "But I am coming for the program. I want to be there. I want to do this program for you." So we are very grateful, Maharaj, for receiving disproportionate love, disproportionate to, you know, our very being. You are giving us so much, we have no words to repay that love. Today also happens to be a very auspicious day. It is the 85th birthday of Mr. Slavin, Maharaj's father. So let us very loudly chant. This voice should reach Chicago. You have to chant very loudly 3 times to wish Mr. Slavin a very, very glorious happy birthday. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! I've been fortunate.
Hopefully you woke him up, because he's probably still sleeping.
Maharaj said after the program is over, maybe we can make a call and we can also wish him happy birthday. 2 years ago, I was at the Bangalore airport ready to board a flight, and Krishna Chandra Prabhu called me up. He said, "You know what? Mr. Slavin is coming here." I was going back to Amritsar, where I lived for the past 4.5 years. He said, you know, Maharaj wants you to come to Bombay because his father is coming. You can't, you know, understand my feelings at that time. I felt like a soft, fluffy cotton, you know, as if I'm, you know, I said, all the, from so far, you know, Maharaj still remembers that when Mrs. Slavin comes, I should be there. He said, tell Raghunath, phone, he told Krishna Chandra Prabhu, tell him to come here to Bombay when my father comes. He likes him very much. So this year, early this year, we had great fortune. My family and I, we went to the United States and we spent half a day with Mr. Slavin. And we got to see some rare pictures of Maharaj when we were there. When we were there in his house. Mr. Slavin has given so much.
Hopefully they'll be more rare.
He has been giving so much love. Off and on I call up Mr. Slavin and speak to him. And you know, see, as they say, good fruits come from good trees. Mr. Slavin, you know, he's so sweet and kind. He says, Raghunath, you're one of my best friends in India. Small thing, but it makes you feel so happy, so wonderful. Even when we went to his home, he welcomed us so nicely, so wonderfully, you know. So I'm very grateful, Maharaj, for coming here this evening and making this program so memorable for us and to inspire all of us in devotional service. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you, Prabhu.
His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki jai.
I would like to say something about everyone in this room, but two more people I'd like to say something about. Mahaprabhu and Palika. Their love. How they've brought so many people to the path of bhakti by their compassion, their enthusiasm, by their devotion. And they've had that wonderful program every Friday night in their garage for how many years? 31 years. Not easy. Making a simple run-down garage into a beautiful temple, and then having wonderful prasad, kirtan, lectures, 31 years, every Friday night. Inspired so many people to help. That's the culture of bhakti. And Bamsidhari Prabhu, Janava Priya, Gauranga Prabhu is the only son in his family. And his mother and father, when they saw him with shaved head and saffron robes, they were obviously quite bewildered. Not as bewildered as American people, parents, because at least they know what it means. But now, because of the loving culture of bhakti, how the congregation treated them so nicely, they're chanting, they love devotees, and Bamsidhar Prabhu and Janava Priya Devi host them in their homes and gave them a promise that you are our own parents. Your son has renounced the world to make the world his family. He has nothing physically, but he's nourishing all of us so much spiritually. They vowed to the parents, we will take care of you as our own parents for the rest of your lives. You have nothing to fear, nothing to worry. Come and live in our house whenever you decide, and we'll take care of you. In the West, it's very, very rare to find anyone willing to take care of their own parents like that. What to speak of taking care of somebody else's parents, a brahmachari's parents. It's the culture of bhakti. No one's telling these people to do this. It's from their hearts. It's with real affection. It's Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Now, should we dance or should we have a somber sitting kirtan? Raghunath Prabhu. Huh? I say you should tell me. We will dance. Everyone was hoping you would make that decision. To speak something? Can we give him microphone, please? Everyone sit down for one more minute.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
He used to be our best dancer.
Hello. मैं महाराज का थैंक यू बोलता हूँ, उनका आभार मानता हूँ, उन्होंने अपना समय निकाल करके हमको आभार किया है, और सब आप लोगों का थैंक यू बोलता हूँ, आपने आ करके हम लोगों को हौसला अफजाई की है. थैंक यू वेरी मच.
गीता, वुड यू लाइक टू से समथिंग? रसप्रिया, रामप्रिया, समथिंग?